Welcome to the Awake Church Podcast. At Awake, our mission is simple. Know God, take action. We pray this podcast will help you on that journey.
Where we're picking up now is chapter 42 in Genesis, and what had happened to get Joseph to where he is was the Pharaoh had a dream. The Lord speaks in dreams a lot. Speaks to me, speaks to you. And what we need is the interpretation. What we need is the interpretation of these dreams. In fact, Joseph is the one who said this first in Genesis 40, verse 8. Interpretations belong to God. So the dreams belong to God, and so do the interpretations. And Joseph had that. He had this clarity. So when Pharaoh shared his dream, Joseph interpreted it. And here's what he said. You got 7 years of plenty that will be followed by 7 years of a famine. And here's what you should do. And Pharaoh says, you're the guy to help us. So you lead the charge. You're now the ruler over Egypt. You'll just be under me. And so Joseph begins to lead. And that's where we kick off here with chapter 42. And verse 6 of 42, it says, now Joseph was the ruler over the land. He was the one who sold to all the people of the land. And Joseph's brothers came and bowed down to him with their faces to the ground. How about that? Remember the dream that Joseph had when he was 17? Of these sheaves of wheat bowing down to him. And here he is, the fulfillment, the interpretation of that dream, he's living in that moment. And it was, I'm certain, unlike anything that he had thought it would be like, if that dream ever would have happened, because it had been 22 years since he had that dream, and zero, the exact opposite all along the way. And here they are. He recognizes his brothers. They're bowing down, asking for grain. And he's the sheaf that's standing upright who can give it to them. So here he stands there with his brothers bowing down before him. And then he decides, you know, in a moment, it takes a while to process things sometimes. It does for me. You find yourself in a situation, I don't always have an immediate right response. And I don't think Joseph did in a moment. Here's what he does. He starts toying with his brothers a little bit. He disguised himself so that they wouldn't recognize him. I don't know what he did there, but he disguised himself, and then he treats them harshly, and he accuses them of being spies. Now, they could have been. Here's his track record with his brothers. Well, we know some of it, right? They sold him as a slave, so they may not have the best things in their heart. Secondly, he knows that Judah and his brothers wiped out every man in Shechem with a sword. Killed them all. I mean, murdered. So who knows what these guys are up to? But he accuses them of being spies, and he puts them all in jail for 3 days. And then he pulls them out after 3 days, and he tells them, after asking them questions, and they told him that they have another brother, younger brother, which he knew. His little brother was 11 when Joseph had been sold. Hadn't seen him in these 22 years. And he says, they tell him they've got this brother. So he says, I want you to go get your little brother and bring him here so I can believe that you're not really spies, that you are who you say you are. Verse 21 of 42 says, truly, we are guilty concerning our brother. So they don't know that he can understand what they're saying. Because we saw the distress of his soul when he pleaded with us. That's when they sold him. Yet we would not listen. Therefore, this distress has come upon us. They are seeing that their condition in this moment of being thrown in jail and this guy treating them harshly is directly related to the way they had treated their brother Joseph those 22 years earlier. Joseph hears them say these things, and his heart just is torn, and he excuses himself. And he runs away, and it says in verse 24, he turned away from them and he wept. He got emotional. He started crying as he was thinking about all this, and then he hears his brother say those things. Then he pulls himself back together, washes his face, goes back in before the guys, and says, okay, here's what I want you to do. I want you to go home, bring your brother, but I'm going to keep one of you guys while you're gone to make sure you come back as well. So he grabs Simeon. So all the guys, the nine brothers, go back to Hebron, where their dad is. That's about 250, 300 miles. They're walking. They've got donkeys with feed on it. It's probably going to take them, you know, average good days, 20 miles a day walk. You know, it's going to take them close to a couple weeks to get back home. They get there. They tell their dad the story. I'm sure they didn't tell him all the details about this guy, but they probably shared some of the, he's a harsh man. He wants this. And then they also say, you know, he wants to see our youngest brother. And Jacob is like, what? You told him about him? Why'd you do that? He's angry with him. He says, you're going to bring me down to hell, basically, for what you've, why have you done this? I've lost Joseph already. I don't want to lose Benjamin also. But then they eat all the food that they brought, and they run out of food. And Jacob says, okay, I want you to head back down there. And yes, take Benjamin with you. We're going to starve to death if we don't get more food, so take your little brother. So they take Benjamin, and they go all the way back. Verse 16 of chapter 43 says, when Joseph saw Benjamin with them, he said to his house steward, bring the men into the house and slay an animal and make ready, for the men are to dine with me at noon. And the brothers hear this, and they're afraid. So let's read some of this together here in 43, verse 24. We'll read a few verses. Then the man brought the men, Joseph's brothers, into Joseph's house and gave them water, washed their feet, and gave their donkeys fodder. So they prepared the present, these brothers that they had brought, for Joseph's coming at noon, for they had heard that they were to eat a meal there. When Joseph came home, they brought into the house to him the present which was in their hand. Their dad had told them to bring all this good stuff to give away. And they again bowed to the ground before him, which he had another dream of them bowing down. So here's both dreams have just been fulfilled, of them bowing down to him twice. Then he asked them about their welfare and said, is your old father well of whom you spoke? Is he still alive? Verse 28, they said, your servant, our father is well. He's still alive. And they bowed down in homage. As he lifted his eyes and saw his brother Benjamin, his mother's son, he said, is this your youngest brother of whom you spoke to me? And he said, may God be gracious to you, my son. Joseph, something stirred inside his heart so much. Again, 22 years of all this building up. Joseph hurried out, for he was deeply stirred over his brother, who's now 33 years old. And he sought a place to weep. And he entered his chamber and wept there. He took off, he closes the door, and he just starts bawling. All these years, all these things that have happened, and here they are, just overwhelming. It says, then he washed his face, verse 31, and he came out. He controlled himself and said, serve the meal. So they served him by himself and them by themselves, and the Egyptians who ate with him by themselves, because the Egyptians could not eat bread with the Hebrews, for that is loathsome to the Egyptians. Do you realize that Joseph is the ruler of Egypt and he can't even eat meal with have a meal with the Egyptians because he's Hebrew? Isn't that interesting? Now they were seated before him, the firstborn according to his birthright and the youngest according to his youth. And the men looked at one another in astonishment. These guys are at the table. They're looking at each other like, how did he know that you were born before me and he was born right after me? He had sat them according to their birth order. So they're trying to figure this out. Their brains are trying to figure this out. He took portions to them from his own table, but Benjamin's portion was five times as much as any of theirs. So they feasted and drank freely with him. After they had eaten, after they had drunk, then they left the next morning, sent them home with food for their families. But Joseph also is continuing to toy with them. And he puts his silver cup, his personal cup, in the grain sack of Benjamin. And the brothers don't know it. They leave. And then Joseph says to his steward, okay, get up, run after these guys. Chased after them, bring them back because they've stolen something. Of course, everybody there knew what was going on. They chase them down. And Reuben, Judah, they say, no, we have not stolen anything. In fact, you can actually kill the person. If you find something that's yours that we've taken, you can kill the person who's got it. Well, here it is in Benjamin's sack. And so they are devastated. They all turn around, the whole caravan. They come back to Joseph's house. In verse 15 to verse 44, Joseph says, what is this deed you have done? And he says, I won't kill Benjamin, but I'd like to keep him as my slave. And you guys can go ahead and go home. And then Judah, the very one that had the idea to sell Joseph as a slave, he comes forward and he offers himself instead in place of Benjamin to be a slave to Joseph. Chapter 45, verse 1. Let's read a few of these verses. Then Joseph could not control himself before all those who stood by him, and he cried, have everyone go out from me. And there was no man with him when Joseph made himself known to his brothers. Verse 2, he wept so loudly that the Egyptians heard it, and the household of Pharaoh heard of it. Then Joseph said to his brothers, I am Joseph. Is my father still alive? But his brothers could not answer him, for they were dismayed at his presence. Verse 4, then Joseph said to his brothers, please come closer to me. And they came closer. And he said, I am your brother Joseph, whom you sold into Egypt. Now do not be grieved or angry with yourselves, because you sold me here. For God sent me before you to preserve life. I don't know a person on the planet that would say something like that after having been treated that way. I'm sure there are some, but this is incredible what has happened inside of Joseph from the moment he first saw them and they bowed down to him and something started stirring on the inside and all the memories of his how wounded he had been and all that he'd gone through, the imprisonment and the slavery and all that. And he's got to work through this and deal with this and think about this day and night for however many weeks since that moment till this moment. He'd been thinking about it, probably praying about it, realizing his dreams have just been fulfilled. And at some point in his wrestling with God on this, which I'm just going to say, this happens for all of us. There's sometimes just wrestlings with God about certain ways where we've been offended or wounded or mistreated, where sometimes it's not just super easy to just forgive. Sometimes you have to choose to over and over and over, and your heart says, I can see, God, you were in this. And Joseph makes a choice to forgive them. And so much so does he forgive them, but he tells them to not be angry with themselves for what they did. That's a level of forgiveness that's beautiful. I'm telling you what, when we forgive, we can see from the perspective of heaven what's going on. It changes it. If you don't forgive, all you have is a lens of bitterness to look through, and you never see clearly. Bitterness is a poison. Remember what Jesus said. His last, I would say, test or hurdle that he went through was while he was on the cross, already nailed there, and they offered him that gall to drink, and it's bitter. And it says he tasted it and he refused to drink it. To me, that was symbolic that he refused to get bitter at what all the things that have been done to him leading up to that moment. And as soon as that happened, says it's finished. Whew. He passed it, every single one of those tests. It's finished.
Into your hands I commit my spirit, Father. He bowed his head and he died. Verse 6 here. For the famine has been in the land these 2 years, Joseph continues to his brothers. And there are still 5 years of which there will be neither plowing nor harvesting. And then he says this, 7 and 8. God sent me before you to preserve for you a remnant in the earth and to keep you alive by a great deliverance. Verse 8, now therefore, it was not you who sent me here. Wow. That's incredible. It was not you who sent me here, but God. Wow. And he has made me a father to Pharaoh and lord of all his household and ruler over all the land of Egypt. I think the greatest interpretation that Joseph ever had for a dream was interpreting his life experience in this moment right there. That is a beautiful interpretation. God sent me here to preserve life for tens of thousands. I got to suffer a little for it. That's okay. He could see it that way. He was a type of Jesus in a sense. Interesting. He rose to ruler over Egypt at the age of 30. Jesus started his ministry at 30. Jesus had to overcome bitterness all the way. Joseph, the same. And then how many are saved? Thousands and thousands. Probably millions of people in all of the surrounding region who would have starved to death had he not been ruler at that moment. What a perspective. Romans 8:28 says, and we know that God causes what? All things to work together, not just some, not just the good ones, all things to work together for good to those who love him and those who are called according to his purpose. If we don't believe that God is working everything out for our good, we will misinterpret what we experience along our journey. But if we believe that our lives are in his hand, then even the difficult, the harsh, the unfair are a setup for God to use us in a great way. Everything's a setup. God wins at every turn if we will say yes to him and trust him. Verse 9, hurry and go up to my father and say to him, thus says your son Joseph, God has made me Lord of all Egypt. Come down to me and do not delay. Verse 10, you shall live in the land of Goshen. You shall be near to me, you and your children, your children's children, your flocks, your herds, all that you have. And there I will also provide for you. He's going to provide for them. For there are still 5 years of famine to come, and you and your household and all you have would be impoverished. Behold, your eyes see, and the eyes of my brother Benjamin see, that it is my mouth which is speaking to you. Now you must tell my father of all my splendor in Egypt, and all that you've seen, and you must hurry and bring my father down here. Then he fell on his brother Benjamin's neck and wept, the only brother that never mistreated him, and the only brother from his mom. And Benjamin wept on his neck, and he kissed all of his brothers and wept on them. And afterward, his brothers talked with him. Now, when the news was heard in Pharaoh's house that Joseph's brothers had come, it pleased Pharaoh and his servants. And Pharaoh said to Joseph, say to your brothers, do this. Load your beasts and go to the land of Canaan and take your father and your households and come to me and I will give you the best of the land of Egypt. You'll eat of the fat of the land. Verse 19. Now you are ordered, do this. Take wagons from the land of Egypt for your little ones and your wives and bring your fathers and come. Do not concern yourself with your goods, for the best of all the land of Egypt is yours. Then the sons of Israel did so. Joseph gave them wagons according to the command of Pharaoh and gave them provisions for the journey. To each of them he gave changes of garments, but to Benjamin he gave 300 pieces of silver, 5 changes of garments. To his father he sent as follows, 10 donkeys loaded with the best things of Egypt, 10 female donkeys loaded with grain and bread and sustenance for his father on the journey. So he sent his brothers away and they departed. And he said to them as they left, do not quarrel on the journey. Then they went up from Egypt, verse 25, and came to the land of Canaan to their father Jacob. And they told him, saying, Joseph is still alive. He indeed is the ruler over all the land of Egypt. But he was stunned, for he did not believe them. And when they told him all the words of Joseph that he had spoken to them, and when he saw the wagons that Joseph had sent to carry him, the spirit of their father Jacob revived. And he said, it is enough. My son Joseph is still alive. I will go and see him before I die. And of course, we're going to pick up from there next week and share some of the rest of this story. So Lord, we just right now in this moment, thank you for those who've gone before us, those who've shown us how to live free, how to respond, how to treat others. And Lord, if there's anyone that comes to our mind, God, we just trust you, Holy Spirit. We're not going to dig around in there, but we just ask for you, if you highlight any institution, any church, any leader, any boss, any neighbor, any parent, child, spouse, friend or former friend, anyone that comes to mind, anyone that pops to mind that I feel like they've done me wrong. I feel like they did something. They hurt me in some way. If there's a tinge of unforgiveness, bitterness, anger toward them, we just drag that before you, Father, right now. We just drag that out of our heart and into your light. And we choose, as Joseph did, as his brothers were bowing down before him, to forgive. Even if those that hurt us have never asked for it, even if they never will ask for it, even if they never see that they ever did anything wrong, we choose right now, by the help of your Spirit, Holy Spirit, we forgive. We choose to forgive. We release, we let go. And not only do we forgive, we say, Father, would you forgive them? And Lord, we also ask that you'd help them. Help them to not even be angry with themselves. We bless. Jesus, you went through it all, and you did it for me personally. You exchanged your place for my place. You took my sin. You took our sin collectively. You paid for it. We didn't deserve anything, nothing. And you've done it for us. And we now forgive others. Has nothing to do with them deserving anything. Has everything to do with you've given us everything. And we give forgiveness away. We choose to forgive. We choose to bless as well. On top of the forgiveness, we bless them. And we ask, Lord, that you would prosper them, that you would help them, that you would cause their lives to do well, that they would thrive in every way, that they would know you, that they would enjoy you, that they would have peace in their lives, in their homes, in their businesses. We bless them. And those that are generations before us, generations before us who have done our forefathers wrong. I particularly think of African Americans who have been enslaved in their history here in this country. Lord, I ask, Lord, that there would be forgiveness and that that would not affect the purposes that you have for any of them here today. They are some of the greatest treasures of our land and nation and friendship and leaders. Lord, let us all live free, free from carrying unforgiveness and any weight of bitterness, any poison. Lord, I ask that you purge the poison from every heart. Any bitterness we've carried, we just put it aside right now. Lord, we get rid of it. We get it out of us, Lord. Your Spirit purges us right now. Thank you, Father. Thank you for being so good to us. And thank you, Jesus, for forgiving us. And we, now that we've forgiven, we receive your forgiveness for our own sin, for our own stuff. Whew. Thank you for your forgiveness to me, to us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening to today's message. For updates on future episodes, make sure to subscribe to our podcast and leave us a review to let us know how we're doing. For more information about Awake Church, visit awakechurch.com.